Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. And welcome to Healing School. Healing School is the place where people come to hear and be healed. Today is a wonderful day. What a wonderful time for you to make the decision. Now, pay attention to words, you know. Make the decision. Today is my day. Make a decision. Today is my day to receive my miracle from the Lord. Can you make that decision? You have the authority to. Now, whether you make it or not, it's a different story. But I do want you to know you have the authority. And the Lord will back it up. Are you listening to me? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. He will back it up. But again, you have to make that decision. Now, just like any company back up their product, God also is backing his word. Yes, he does. He backs his word. The Bible says, God upholding all things by the word of his power. So today, now that you know he'll back his word, you can go ahead and receive. Bank on what he said. It is guaranteed. Amen. It's guaranteed. His word is guaranteed. Praise the Lord. So we welcome you today, wherever you are listening to this live class. Welcome to Healing School today. Now, today we are talking about faith through action. Faith through action. Good morning, Prophet.
Good morning.
All right, we're ready to begin.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My computer is coming up in a minute, Apostle.
Okay. All right. Again, we are talking about, if you're just joining us, we're talking about faith through action. It's going to be very interesting today. You're going to get so much from this. You're going to understand some things. This reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Through faith, we understand. See, faith calls you to even understand.
Amen.
Through faith, we understand things. Glory to God. Somebody says, well, I don't know how to hear from God, and I don't understand that. Through faith, you can. Mm-hmm. I said, through faith, you can.
Amen.
All right, Prophet, just let me know when you're ready.
We're ready.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to look a little bit, as Apostle said, through our topic this morning, faith through action. And just to give you a little example of what we're talking about, the lesson will explain and show us the difference between real faith and sense knowledge faith. Again, we're looking at the difference this morning between two different extremities as it relates, extremes as it relates to faith, real faith, and sense knowledge faith.
Mm-hmm.
So sense knowledge faith has almost driven real faith out of the church. Believing is really acting on the word, and faith is the result of our actions.
Now, let's pause right there for a minute, Prophet. I want you to look at a scripture that I don't have in the lesson today. Can we do that?
Yes, we can.
Look at James chapter 2 in verse 17 in the King James Version. James chapter 2 in verse 17.
James 2.
Uh-huh.
And verse 17 in the King James.
Yes.
And it reads, even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone.
If it had not
again,
go ahead.
Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone.
It's good to have faith. You should have faith. But if I just stop there, I have not helped you. If the prophet, if we stop right there, we have not helped people.
No, we have not.
Faith requires action. You can't sit back like so many of the church world do. Well, I'm waiting on God. Well, I'm just waiting on God. Well, what are these old days? Well, I hope I'm healed. That is why you don't see it. Because hope is the goal setter. Are you listening to me? Hope is the goal setter. Now faith is the substance of things. Mm-hmm. Hope has no substance to give faith. So, you know, well, I hope I get healed. No, that's not faith. You must act. See, when you act on the word, that's when faith comes. Mm-hmm. When you act on the word, that is when faith comes. Can you see that?
Yes.
All right, continue.
So we're going to look at Mark 11, 22 through 24 in the King James. And it reads, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24 says, and therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Now back up to verse 23 again.
Verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said.
So you might say here in verse 23, well, now I know who it'll work for. And we may say, yeah, well, who? You say, well, whosoever. Well, it won't work for just whosoever. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to words now. What did he say? Whosoever shall say. Whosoever, yes, shall say. See, the God kind of faith requires voice.
All right.
It's voice activated. Whosoever shall say. It won't work for whosoever. It'll work for whosoever will say something. Mm. You got to open your mouth and say. Now, when you get, there's a Greek word that is titled homologio. What does it mean? It means to say the same thing that God has said. Mm-hmm. Get in agreement with God, homologio. Say, mm-hmm, the same thing that God has said. So whosoever shall say. To the problem, to the sickness, to the disease, whatever it is. Now, this knocked many people out here. And let me tell you why I say this. Because the world system has trained us to believe you are crazy. A person is crazy to talk to things. Mm-hmm. Well, girl, look at him talking to himself. That man done lost his mind. That woman is crazy. Right? You heard that before.
Absolutely.
But Jesus talked to things. Jesus talked to trees. He talked to the water. Yes, he did.
Amen.
He talked to the weather. He spoke to the wind. He told it what to do, and it obeyed him. Now listen, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can do that. I hope you're taking notes. Write this down. Jesus did not come to the earth as the Son of God. He came as a prophet operating under the Mosaic law. He did not come as the Son of God. He came as a prophet. He came as a man, not the Son of God. He came as a man, even though he was and is the Son of God. That's not how he came. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Many people right there, the devil has done a job of convincing them, oh, don't talk to things. But look at what he said. Whosoever shall say. See, it'll work for who? Whosoever shall say. People are waiting, prophet, to see something. They're waiting to hear something. They're waiting to believe something. And unless I can see it, unless I can feel it, I don't believe it. I'll believe I'm healed when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. That is not the God kind of faith. That's not the faith that will please God. Remember Hebrews 11 and 6? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's not it. That faith will not please God. You have to believe God without any sense evidence. We're talking about here today. No sense evidence. All right.
Absolutely.
Come in any way you want.
I'd like to touch on that a little bit because, you know, you brought my mind back to some things that our Father in the Gospel shared with verse 23 right there. You're saying how people, God shared with him and told him how people are not missing it in what they're believing. They're missing it in what they're saying.
Absolutely.
They believe in God. They believe in the word, but they're missing it in what they're saying and how they're saying it.
Yes.
And where they are directing their words to. For example, looking at verse 23, you can count how many times it has more times of mentioning the word say than the word believe.
That's right.
Right there in verse 23. So we see four times, some form of the word say. We have say it four times. He says, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, and that's another thing we miss out on, Apostle. He's telling us we should speak to the mountain, not about the mountain.
That's good.
We so oftentimes, and like I shared, always share this, we're not against doctors. We are for doctors. We have doctors.
That's right.
It's okay to go to the doctor and tell the doctor what the symptoms are, then the doctor tell you his diagnosis, and you just say, okay, the doctor said this, but then you leave it alone. You don't go around just constantly saying what the doctor has said. See, so here are the steps. We go and tell the doctor what the symptoms are. The doctor comes back after all his examinations and tells us what his diagnosis are. And then you go home and you should say, watch this now, to the mountain. To what's the mountain? Whatever the diagnosis are.
Yes.
Did you catch that? The doctor might say, well, I see you have a cyst. I see, you know, that there is a little problem around your arteries. I see you might have, you know, something wrong in your back. There may be something going on between, you know, the disc in your back, whatever. I'm just pulling things out the top of my head. But whatever he said, you go home and speak to that, because that's the mountain. And you don't have to be in suspense about what to say.
No.
Jesus not only told you to speak to it, but look what's next. He's telling you what to say. He said, tell it to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it to be cast into the sea. Are you listening to me?
That's good.
So he told you three things here. He said, number one, I want you to speak to that cyst. He said, I'm going to tell you what to say to that cyst. And then he said, I'm going to tell you how to say it. I don't want you to be in doubt at all. I want you to believe what you're saying when you say it. He said, then you're going to have. See, Apostle says something. People are waiting to see something. You're only going to see it after you take these steps.
That's right.
You're only going to see your healing after you speak to whatever the problem is, not about the problem. We run around talking about the problem all day. And when we do that, we are illuminating the problem. We're causing the problem to grow and to grow and to grow, because you will have what you say. You keep saying, I'm sick. Then you are sick. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you go and speak to that problem area that the doctor told you exactly what it was, you go and say, okay, now, cyst, I know you're there. The doctor told me you're there. That's why I went to him, to find out what all this pain is about. But now I'm speaking to you. Listen to me. In the name of Jesus, be removed from my body. Be plucked up. You be cast into the sea. In the name of Jesus. And don't have, after that, don't go around saying, let me see if it's working. He said, don't you doubt in your heart. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to have faith. This is where your faith kicks in after you've done the action. So all if the thought comes again, if the pain comes again, you just say, thank you, Father. I have what I say. Because who said that? Jesus. He said, you'll have what you say.
That's right.
Well, I told it to be removed. And so guess what? It's got to move. Oh, it's in there cutting up, man. It's in there having a hissy fit, because it wants me to believe that I didn't get what I said. So it's kind of, you know, trying to act up. The pains are getting, you know, harder. They're coming, you know, quicker and fewer upon. I'm telling you, they're really cutting up now. The pain is growing. You know why? Because it's trying to make you believe that you are in doubt and you're not going to get it. You're getting worse. You see that?
That's
but don't
right.
Listen. Don't listen to that.
That's right.
Stay focused. You've spoken to it. And guess what? It's got to obey you if you doubt not in your heart. Did you catch that?
It's good.
We sometimes overlook. It's simplicity. I mean, it's God. Jesus said what he meant, and he meant exactly what he said. We don't have to, you know, go and draw some crystal balls and do some seances and Indian dances and see smoke and all of that kind of stuff. No, that's not the miraculous. The miraculous is believing the word of God and then speaking it.
Yep.
In faith.
Act on that.
That's what's so miraculous about the word of God.
That's good.
Amen?
Yes.
So unanswered prayer stands between the individual and a life, and a faith life. Unanswered prayers stand between the individual, you, we're speaking to you, us. It stands between us and our faith life.
Mm-hmm.
Unanswered prayers. And now, see, based on what we just shared, we see why sometimes our prayers go unanswered. We haven't done what God has said, instructed us to do. Some have lost faith altogether, and many have turned to philosophical and metaphysical cults,
mm-hmm.
considering their prayer lives were lost.
Yes.
Thinking that, you know, it didn't work. This stuff doesn't work for me. I've tried that. So let me go and try some metaphysical cult kind of things. Let me try this.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one foundation for faith, and that is the living word of God.
Yes. That's right. Let's pause there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at two scriptures here. Go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, folks, Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Let me tell you, Satan do not want you to hear this today because it knocks him out of the park. It hinders him. It stops him in his tracks. Are you listening to us? Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans 10 and 11.
Now look at what he said. If you believe on who? Him.
Mm-hmm.
You will not. Say it with me. I will not be what?
Put ashamed.
To shame. You're not going to be ashamed. What does that tell you there then? You didn't win. Mm-hmm. You have victory. And you know what? You have it now. You don't have to wait for it. This is not a game of hide and go seek. No. You will not be put to shame. Somebody say, well, what if I do this believing and nothing happened? You're not going to be put to shame, he said. Do you see it? Now,
amen.
Let's look at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 17.
Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 17 says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confound world without end.
World without what?
World without end.
Have you ever heard anybody say, or maybe you even said, oh, this world is coming to an end. What this world is coming to is coming to an end. Oh, this is the end. Listen, folks, you just saw it in the scripture. The world is not going to ever come to an end. What? That's heresy. No, it isn't. It's the word of God. Did y'all catch it? The world is never going to come to an end. The end of the age will, but not the world. The world is going to keep right on going on. Now that I gave you one scripture, I can give you a whole bunch more. Are you listening to me? What am I trying to show you here? Before Jesus came and died and rose again, There was no such thing as saving faith. When Jesus came to those 12 disciples, they were not Christians. They wasn't born again. They didn't get born again until the day of Pentecost. That's when men and women were born again. Are you hearing me? So the fates were different. Listen, they had Jesus right there with them. But today, you and I don't have Jesus in the flesh right here with us. What did he say we have to do? Believe on him. Exercise faith in him. Take what he said, believe it, act on it. And at Romans 10 and 11 again, he said, you're not going to be put to shame. You're not going to be embarrassed. What is he saying? My word works if you work it. If you do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to experience the same victory that I have. That's why he gave us his faith in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. All right.
Praise God. Romans 10 and 17 in the King James says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm. See, you have to act on that word. Mm-hmm. The word of God must be act on. Look, you can't just sit down and say, oh, I believe. Well, I believe. Oh, yes, I believe. Praise God, I believe. You better do something. You better act on it. You must act on it. You have to act on it. You see it?
Amen.
All right.
As we become one with the word in our actions, then faith becomes an unconscious reality.
Did y'all catch that? As we become what?
As we become one with the word in our actions, then faith becomes an unconscious reality.
Listen, this is not talking about I'm rememberizing the word of God. And I'm not knocking that either. That's not what I'm saying. When the word of God becomes a reality, when it's on the, listen to me, when it's deep, when it has become a part of you, it's in you. Are you still out there? Mm-hmm. It's in you. See? Mm-hmm. That's not trying to remember it. Oh, let's see if I can remember. No. Listen to me. You never, ever forget certain things. You know why? It's in you. I said it's in you. That's why the scripture talks about the communion. What did Brother Paul say? As often as you do it, remember who? Remember the Lord. Well, if he's in you, how can you forget it? And didn't the scripture say, greater is he that is where? In me. How many of y'all know God's word is medicine? So if you take the medicine of God, in other words, get the word of God on the inside of you, it will go to work. It will do what God said it can do. But listen to me. Many people are trying to see something first. Well, when I see it, I'll believe it. That's what got Brother Thomas in trouble. He was basing his faith off of what he can see. My Lord, my God. After he put his hand in the side, after he saw him, because they told Thomas, we have seen my Lord. He was here. Thomas saying, I will. See, listen to me. To believe is an act of your will. I will not believe until I see him, until I put my hand in his side. I'm not going to believe. The door being shut, Jesus walked straight through the door or straight through the wall and said, Thomas, here I am. Put your hand in my side. Come on. Now Thomas want to get super spiritual. Oh, bless God. My God, look at here. And many of the church world is doing the same thing today, which we call sense knowledge. Sense knowledge. All right. Man, I could stay there all day.
Amen. So can I. Let me just add a little bit to that. The statement that we made, and I'll repeat it. It says, as we become one with the word in our actions, then faith becomes an unconscious reality. The key words in that sentence is, we must become one with the word in our actions.
That's right.
How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. For example, let's look at it like this. Remember, what are we looking at? Becoming one with God's word, not only in what we say, but in our actions. Let's look at it like this. I need to do the word of God. I need to become one with God in my actions.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old covenant, there was a commandment given, and it says, love the Lord with all your heart, and God and your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. It goes on and on. That's the Ten Commandments, right? So when we look at that, that means we had to do that.
That's right.
But how many of you know that's not where we are? We have a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We do.
That's right.
Jesus said in leaving the earth, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. And child of God, that's all he required of us to do is that new commandment. And what is that? He said that you love one another. And then he told us how to love. He said, even as I have loved you. Well, we know how Jesus loved us, right? You know it, right?
Yes.
Sure, you know. He didn't love me because I loved him. Oh, of course not. I couldn't even begin to comprehend how to love Jesus. But he loved us. Watch this now. Watch this word. He loved us unconditionally.
That's good.
He didn't love us because of. He didn't love me because I did something. He didn't love you because you did something. He loved you in spite of.
Yes.
He didn't love you after you got saved. He loved you even while you were yet sinners. Isn't that what the Bible says?
That's right.
So he showed us how to love one another. You cannot, we should not say, I love my neighbor if my neighbor treats me right.
That's right.
Oh, come on now. He didn't say, I'm going to love my coworker and treat my coworker right if my coworker treats me right. See, that's not doing the word. That's not becoming one with the word. See, we want the blessings. We want to see the manifestation of what Jesus has said to us in his word, but we're only going to see something. Now stay with me. Only after we what? Become one with his word.
That's right.
In our actions. And this is how you become one with God in your actions. You command, you do the commandment.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one. It's only one that we live on. This is it for us. We don't have to go back and, you know, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do. No, we're not under that. Do you know you fulfill all of those? You fulfill the old commandment by actually walking in the new commandment? Because if you love me, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to hate, hurt me. If you love me, you're not going to steal from me. If you love me, you're not going to covet my wife. See, so it all is all comprehensive in that new commandment. It's all included in that new, it all comes under the heading. The old covenant comes under the covering, rather, of the new commandment. So this is how we become one with God in our actions. You mean that's all I have to do is love one another and I'm walking in, I'm acting in the word? Yes, you got it now. Yes, you got it. See, as we become one with his word, where? In our actions, not in our mouth. In our actions.
That's good.
Then our faith becomes a reality. And what is reality? You can see it. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can taste it. It's now manifested in your life.
Good.
See it?
That's so good.
So we have to get a good working knowledge of what God is saying. When you become one with my word, Helen, really, Father? Yes. When you love, as I've shown you how to love, see, now your faith will work. And let me go a little bit further with that. Because we all know this, all you Bible scholars listening to us out there, you know how faith works, right? We've said it over and over again, but sometimes we just need to remind ourselves.
Yes.
The Bible says faith, come on, Apostle, help me to say it. Faith worketh by love.
That's right.
Are you listening? Your faith won't even work if you're not walking in love.
That's right.
So what did we say? We said a mouthful. As we become one with the word in our actions, our faith becomes an unconscious reality. So now we know how to do it. You mean if I just love one another, my faith will grow? My faith will grow if I walk in love? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in action. Now your action is there. It's not just in words. You know, don't go around saying, I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you. That's great. That's fine. But how are you treating me?
Absolutely.
What actions are you portraying toward me? Are you just using that? See, that's what we opened up with. Sense knowledge versus, you know, real faith knowledge. See it? We have to really begin to walk in the word of God. We have to become one with that word. Become one. Child of God, do not let Satan use you as a pincushion, as a punch, if one is his, you know, punching bags. Don't let him, you know, use you as his little, you know, workout gym, you know, getting all of his, you know, actions completed in our lives. No, we want to make sure we're being used, led, and filled with the Spirit and by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Amen. What is that? We must become one with His Word, not one with the dictates of Satan. Satan will have us to love people if they love us. Satan will have us to treat people like they treat us. But guys, that is not becoming one with the word of God.
That's right.
You see it? And I wanted to give that example because that's a powerful statement. As we become one with the word in our actions, our faith becomes a reality. Well, how do you do that? You have to go back and find out what the word of God says so you can act according to the word of God. What is the word of God? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another, even as I have loved you. It's all about love, guys. That's the word for us. That's the word for you. That's the word for me. But when we look out into the world, do we see that?
My.
Do we see that?
No.
We see road rage. We see neighbor against neighbor. We see coworker against coworker. We see our nation all up in odds with one another. We see people, gun violence everywhere. We see drug lords and drug wars, and the list goes on and on. But keep saying, but you are here. Well, what does that mean? It means a lot. See, are you becoming one with the word of God? If you are, you have the power on the inside of you to stop the drug wars.
That's right.
Oh, come on now. You have the power inside of you to stop what's going on in our nation. You got to be kidding me. No, I'm not. I am not kidding you. You have the power to take hold of all the sickness and disease that Satan's trying to afflict you with and command it to be plucked up and be cast into the sea. You have the power on the inside of you, child of God, to do that. How? Become one with the word of God.
That's
in
right.
Your action. In your action. Why don't you sit around and talk about it?
That's right.
No, do it. Do something about it. Just make sure you're walking in love.
That's
Praise
right.
Praise God.
You want to know that he, whatever he said, you are, you are. Jesus said by his stripes, you were healed. You are. I said, you are, but you must receive it. It's not enough just to believe it. You got to have faith in it. Well, how do you know you're in faith about it? Because you're acting on it. Because you are acting on it. You can believe all day, nothing happened. Start acting. Just start acting. Act on it. Now faith comes. Now action take place. Do you see that?
Yes.
So many people miss that. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe.
Because we haven't been taught, Apostle.
Yes.
We haven't been taught. We've been brainwashed.
That's right.
We haven't been taught. And so that's why this ministry has been risen up by God to teach the word, not just preach the word. If we give you a scripture, we're going to explain it. We're going to break it down. We're going to give examples. We're going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. You say every time those Apostle Larry and Prophet Helen come on, all they're talking about is faith and faith and faith. Every time they talk, they're talking about the word. Why? Because that's when we win. Not just knowing the word, but knowing how to do the word. You see the difference?
That's right.
Our job is to make sure you know those scriptures and know how to apply them to your life and see the manifestation of whatever God has promised you. See it come to life for you. Amen?
That's right.
Hope is another very important statement. Hope is always in the future. You never receive what you are hoping for because faith is an action, not a hope. I'm going to say that again. Hope is always in the future. It's down. It's hope is always, well, by tomorrow we'll have this. Maybe next week or maybe next year. How about in 2025? Let's wait and see what we have. See, hope. Well, I hope that by next year we will have completed this, this package, this program that we're working on. I hope, give us 2 years and we'll complete building this, you know, this new building onto the ministry. But our house will be finished maybe 6 months down the line and we'll be finished building our new home. See, hope is always in the future. Well, I hope we'll be finished by then. Well, I hope we'll meet our goal by then. Well, I hope that, see, the package will arrive by tomorrow. I hope, I hope, I hope. It's always in the future. And look at this. You never receive what you are hoping for because faith is always right now.
Yes, faith is now.
Faith is always now. Faith is now. It's an action. It's not a hope. You see it? I love that.
That's
so
good.
If we constantly living in and faith, there is a place for hope. But it has nothing to do with faith.
That's
you
right.
See it? So That's when right. When you and I are referring to the things of God, let's go back a minute. Let's go back to that statement we used a few minutes ago. As we become one with the word of God in our actions, our faith becomes a reality. Let's go back to that. And we gave an example. What is the word that we need to become, that needs to become one in our action? And we talked about it, love, right? The love walk.
That's right.
See, yeah. So let's apply that to what we're talking about now. Well, maybe I can love you by next week. Maybe I'll fall in love with you by tomorrow or next year. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I can love you after you change. Maybe I can, unless this is a popular one with us. Maybe if they change their ways, I could love them. Maybe in the future, I could. See, that you have to love them now. You have to love them while they're unlovable.
Yes.
You have to love them the way they are. You don't love your children when they do what you want them to do. You love them all the time, even when they're not doing what you want them to do.
That's right.
You see it? And you have to have that same love toward everyone. You don't love people when they become what you want them to become or fulfill a goal you want them to fulfill or act the way you have to love them all the time. You have to get to the place where you say, well, I don't like the actions. I don't love the actions of that person. I don't love the behavior of that person, but I love that person. I love that person right now. See it? I don't love, you know, what you're doing. I don't love what you're saying. I don't love what you stand for. See, you have to make the distinction.
That's right.
Love is always now, always. So that's what we're talking about now. Hope is always in the future. This is how you can distinguish whether or not you are standing in faith or whether you're standing in hope.
Yes.
If you always find yourself referring to your healing like this, well, I know God's going to heal me. Now, y'all can relate to that. I know you can't. Come on, let me get my little Southern drawl out here for you. Y'all can relate to that. Can't you? Sure. You know, well, God is going to heal me. Well, God is going to do it. Well, God is going to do that. And God is going to take care of it. And God, he is not a child of God.
No.
He is not going to do anything. See? Because you're standing in hope. Believing for faith, but you're standing in hope.
Yes.
So you say, well, what do I do about that? I'm glad you asked. You stop saying God is going to heal me. You change your confession and say, thank God, Father, you have healed my body. Oh, thank you for healing me. Father, I just thank you. I praise you. Jesus died at Calvary for me. He hung on that cross for me. And by the stripes of Jesus, come on, I am healed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. Are you listening?
That's good.
I am healed. You have to get to the place where you realize he did this. He's not going to do this. He did this.
Yes.
And because he did it, you take it by faith today.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to the place where you say, well, okay, I am not going to go one more day in my life doing without what Jesus died to provide for me 2,000 years ago.
Praise Jesus.
You want me to say that again? I will.
Say it again.
You have to get to the place in your life where you talk like this. You say, well, I am not going to go one more day in my life doing without what Jesus died to provide for me over 2,000 years ago. See? You have to get to that point in place because, child of God, this is how you are created. You were created to have what you say.
That's good.
Not what you hope for. See it?
That's right.
That's how you change that. You stop saying, well, what God is going to do. Because hope is, in that's hope. When you say, I hope God is going to do this, that's hope. That's not faith. Hope, this is how you know the difference between hope and faith. Hope is always in the future. That's faith right. is always now.
That's right.
Let's say that again. Hope is always futuristic. Mm-hmm. Faith is always here and now, today.
Yes. That's right.
See it?
Absolutely.
That's how you fix that. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yes. We must change our vocabulary. We must change our confessions. We must change what we're saying. Child of God, hope doesn't have anything to do. It's a goal setter. That's all it is. But it doesn't have anything to do with faith.
That's good.
Faith is now. And if it's now, guess what? You're acting on it right now. You're acting on it. How am I acting on it? I'm saying what Jesus said. I'm doing what he told me to do. I'm walking in love. I'm loving you in spite of your ugly ways, your terrible behavior toward me, the things you're doing against me. I still love you. I don't love what you're doing, but I still love you. Why? Because God said I should. He said I must. That's how you do it, child of God. There is no getting around it. I'll repeat the statement. Hope is always in the future. You never receive what you're hoping for because faith is always now. Yeah. It's an action. It's an action. Let's move on. Real faith is acting on the word of God, independent of any sense evidence. I'll repeat it. Real faith is acting on the word of God, independent, that means separate and apart from any sense evidence. That's you don't see it, you don't feel it, you don't taste it, you don't smell it. Come on. But God has said it, so you believe it. Come on, Apostle.
Well, Prophet, this is wonderful. This is powerful. This will work for anybody under the sound of our voice who will receive it right now.
Amen.
Before we leave the air today, let me pray with you. What I want you to do, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the condition, I want you to dare to believe and act on God's word. Now, by the authority in the name of Jesus, I speak to your sick body today.
Amen.
I speak to the limbs in your body. I command it to line up with the word of God. Today is your miracle day. Today is the day that you rise up and say, sick, no more. Affliction, Amen. No more.
Amen.
I'm healed because he says I am. I believe it and I act on it now. Now, here's what I want you to do to act on it. I want you to just wave your hand like you're waving bye-bye to somebody. Just wave your hand. I'm waving mine right now at the same time Amen. With you. See, Amen. This puts us on one accord. The Bible Amen. Says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He delivered Amen. You from that heart trouble. He delivered you from that diabetes. Whatever the situation is,
Amen.
You be made whole now in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you for it. We thank you for it now in the name Amen. Of Jesus. It is ours now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.